So with that, I'm going to shift back into the mobile devices for the rest of the talk. And again, I'm going to talk a lot about the CLDC and the KVM because I think probably the mid-profile stuff is so new that most people haven't had a chance to really jump on it anyway. Fundamentally, it's a spec. It says what VM features you need in terms of the standard Java virtual machine spec to have Java in these little mobile devices. It requires or provides requirements for the interfaces for I/O, networking, sort of basic underlying security. It talks about how having this model, this sandbox kind of model, provides security to your Java application and why things are the way they are. It talks a little bit about the basics of the application installation and how to manage it in the device. And then it refers to profiles to provide some of the higher level application management, so the mid-profile, for instance. It also states what's required by the way of internationalization features. I'm going to talk about that a little bit further. It clearly also states what's not in its scope. So again, keeping with kind of the you know, keep things simple philosophy, the CLDC has a whole section talking about this is not within the CLDC because it should be defined in the mid-P, or this will be left up for a manufacturer to decide. Some of the things that are left up for the mid-P and other profiles are user interface, the event handling, the higher level application model, and database support, or the ability to save files or to save things that are in memory somewhere. And that's actually going to be an interesting area because many devices don't have file system or the concept of a file system. So you have to use EEPROM or something else to get it to work. So anyway, there's several things that are clearly not within the scope. And the mid-P is, again, a good example of, if you look at the CLDC document with the mid-profile document side by side, you'll see where the CLDC says to be defined in profiles, and the mid-P will define it. Or the mid-P will say, you know, this was defined in the CLDC. Go to there. So the two are very complementary, and they're meant to be used together. Again, the general goal with the CLDC has been that we would have a full Java programming language and virtual machine compatibility. In a perfect world, in other words, there would be no changes to the VM. It would be completely compatible with the standard desktop or server version, and so on. However, again, in real life, there's always engineering compromises you have to keep in mind. And so there are a few things that are clearly called out that are not in the CLDC in 1.0. Or I should say they're not required. The manufacturer could implement them in addition to the CLDC if they wanted to, but it's not required. One is floating point, and one of the good reasons for that is that a lot of these devices don't have the hardware built in to do the kind of floating point that you would want. It is up to a manufacturer. If they wanted to provide it, they could, or there is already at least one that I'm aware of, software version providing floating point in software that'll run. It's in the JTuneMe archive as well. So that'll run on devices that implement the CLDC. There are several things that people always have questions about. I'm sure we'll get to the Q&A. There will be more questions that are not included in the CLDC. One is Java native interface, and that maybe on the face of it sounds like it might be a problem. It's not so much a problem as you would think, and there's two reasons. The first reason is manufacturers can still use the native methods for their given platform or operating system with no problem. In fact, they have to port the VM over. So there's not really so much of a restriction on the manufacturers. In fact, the manufacturers are one of the groups that said, we don't want you to require JNI because it's big and it would, you know, take up a lot of space on the device. We're perfectly happy to deal with our native method issues when we port the VM. So for getting the VM onto a device, that's not so much of an issue. The other side of it is that as an application developer, the goal of the CLDC is to let you write code that moves through a network, an untrusted public network, onto a device. And there's a lot of things that are specified in the CLDC that are there to make sure that you can do that safely. The minute you let someone write a native method, all bets are off, right? Safety is pretty much out the door. So as a application programmer, you should be writing in Java if you're going to use the CLDC anyway, and you shouldn't be using the native methods. You should use the Java APIs for whatever's available on that phone. So that's not probably for most people so much of an issue as you might think. The reflection mechanism, there is no RMI in the current CLDC 1.0, which begets that there is no Genie and maybe a couple of other problems. That is certainly a high up on the list of understood issues. And again, if Genie technology is really important to you and having it in the device itself rather than proxy, which you can still do no problem. But if you want to have Genie in the device itself, I'd encourage you to get involved with the CLDC, to give feedback, to go to the sessions and talk to the engineers from Sun and Motorola, Nokia, and the operators and so on. I think that's an area that, you know, we're always investigating. We understand the issues with the size of the standard Genie toolkit, and we know that people want to have it built into every little device, even the tiniest devices. In the 1.0, the engineering decision that was made was to get this out and to get people using it now. Since we can use proxies, we will not support it. Another one is that there are threading. You can do multi-threading, but it's a simplified version. There's no concept of a thread group that's supported. There are no weak references, no finalization. The implementation of bytecode verification and pre-verification is actually kind of an innovative area in the CLDC, and it's a significant part of the specification that deals with that. I should maybe talk a little bit about the pre-verifier concept. One of the things that you want to do when you're moving code into a little device is to take as many of the operations that you can offload onto a server or onto the development system and do that as possible, so that when the code actually gets there, it's really fast to execute. You don't want any kind of delay when my mother starts an application on her phone. It just has to work immediately. So there's been some really interesting work that Sun has done in this concept of pre-verifying. Basically, when you're at development time or when you're out in the network bubble getting ready to serve classes, somewhere before the code gets to the device, it goes through this pre-verification pass or phase where it's analyzed, and if it's found to be secure for that purpose, it's annotated in the class file. And the annotations are done using a standard Java class file format so that the code would still run in any other VM too. Basically, the VM would know to ignore the annotation if it didn't know what it was. But if a VM that knows what it is gets this annotated code, it knows it's been pre-verified.